This is September 29th, and the next meeting will be at the new location on the University of New Mexico Continuing Education Conference Center at 1634 University Place Northeast on 27th of October, 1991, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, then, my friends, good morning. I thought today we would just try to pull together some of the external world events to try to give them a personal understanding in your own awareness. As you know, we have just returned, as some of you know, we've just returned from England, where we did as part of our work there to examine this phenomenon that has come to be called the crop circles. And I find it interesting for many reasons, and I will just outline why this is of interest to you here in New Mexico who may never, ever bother to see a crop circle. I don't think that there is a tremendous amount of separation between the basic energy fields of most of creation. And this means that riding through all forms of creation are blueprints of consciousness. And these blueprints are placed deeply within the form, whatever the form might be. And then as the form continues to create and expand, the blueprint is acted out in various ways. Now, you all know that you have come in with a tremendously exciting blueprint very clearly placed in all of what we would call your psyche. This is a blueprint that overlaps all of the so-called bodies, the emotional body, the physical body, the mental body, and so on, so on, so on, the astral, as far as you want to go. Now, it impinges itself and on all those forms of what you are, and its job is to keep up, if I could put it this way, a constant hum of energy, vibration, and sound, and power to keep you on your course. When you think that you are most lost, please remember, you're no more lost then than you were in moments when you didn't think you were. It's just that somehow the hum has ceased to be so prominent, and you have moved yourself into a place that feels a little less safe, a little less guided, a little less inspired, and so on. So, with this knowledge, this amazing blueprint is accessible in you. Now, let's then talk about the crop circles. Now, there are many, I realize that they have decided that two men have done all of these crop circles. Well, I say, isn't that amazing? They've done 1,000 of them. And how did they get across the channel to Germany? Because they came into Germany this year. These are intensely interesting men. I just simply like to say that for whatever reason, please don't pay too much attention to that. But then the question has to arise, what's going on? Well, let's just talk in vague, exciting terms and come to the knowing that as you begin to study most, not all, but most of the sightings and the creation of these crop circles, you come to the place where you realize that most of them are in 50 miles of Stonehenge. That includes Avebury and all those wonderful power places. And they are coming by the hundreds every year. Now, what I want you to understand and to get a sense of is deeply inside this creation of form, which is the earth consciousness, there rides a blueprint. And it covers all parts of the globe, but there are certain places in the globe that have certain characteristics. If we could relate it to your physical body, it's not a total correlation, but let's just use it. The physical body, you have come to know about those seven centers that you call the chakras, and you know that the chakras have different functions. You know that they have different sounds, that they have different vibrations, they have different awarenesses. And when you concentrate on the top of your head, you get a tremendously different one than when you concentrate on the lower chakras. At least, I think most of you do. So, no humor there? I'm sorry. The truly enlightened one feels no difference, however the energy is moving. But in any case, so when you realize that you have the chakras, then please understand that in a very loose formation, the planet itself has one. And there's no question that England, the Great Britain, the Isles, and so on, have for centuries and centuries been one of the main chakras of the planet. And to talk about it is simply to say, relatively, let's just call it the third eye. Let's just call it that place on the planet where so... I'm pleased to see you. Pleased to see you. Yes. Pleased to see you. That place on the planet where so much of the inspiration of what you have called the occult, what you have called the paranormal, what you have called all the third eye manifestations has been deeply studied and elaborated and brought into world consciousness in a very clear, decisive way, not unruly, not without form, not without rules, but in a very dynamic way. And it's a tremendous service that the British Isles have done for the entire planet. And it's not a mistake that it happened there, and it's not a mistake now that the crop circles have begun to create a pattern in those aisles again. Now, please, one thing to remember, the energy of the blueprint is within the planet itself, and as such, it has been going on and humming for a very long time. Now, what is happening in these last few years is just as all of you in this room and many of you on this planet have been calling out for a quickening, for your life to become more godlike, to be more filled, more full, more dynamic, just as you've been asking for that. Well, so has the planet, and it's not the same, but you understand the thought. So, because you must understand that the planet seems to be under a bit of stress itself, don't you? The planet itself, for whatever reasons. And so, please understand, as above, so below, in the vastness, in the macrocosm, the microcosm, they all go together. This planet, this wonderful formation of consciousness, has within it the ability and the desire to call out for vast energies to fill it, to inspire it, to guide it, just as you do. This planet is not a finished product. It's not a completely finished anything. It is just as you. It is moving toward vaster and vaster states of its own understanding, its own expansion, its own life in its own way. And so by the rules that you follow, so does the planet, and it is calling out. And in the calling out, it's as if it is a huge planetary prayer going out from the heart of the planet, because it has some choices to make. You all have choices to make. Please don't escape the fact that this planet has choices to make. And it will make it. And the planet, because it knows of the vast energy fields that are available to it for its comfort, for its guidance, and for its inspiration, has been calling out. All right, now one manifestation of that happens in the ring of fire that is happening down in the Pacific. Now, why is this interesting and why is this important for this planet? Because if you've been following the scientific data, you will realize that with the explosions of some of those volcanic activities, what is happening is that the ozone situation is getting better for the planet because of all of that activity. Openings have been made, things have been transformed. So the planet is trying to take care of itself. You understand? The planet itself is making some choices. So, at the same time comes this excitement about the crop circles. So, in the prayers, in the calling out, in the expansion and the asking, we now are going to have, and you're going to see it in many places, you're going to see a quickening of consciousness as far as things on the planet are concerned. Various changes will begin to take place, and some of that comes as a response from the prayers of the planet, and that is the crop circle phenomena. Because what is happening, as you call out, so does the planet, and in response comes vast, amazing energies from out of the vastness of awareness and comes down and caresses and quickens the blueprint within the planet. Do you understand? It's not some, please, my friends, it is not flying saucers. And I realized that all of the very strict community would now much prefer flying saucers to what they're worried about now. They were had enough trouble thinking about flying saucers, and now that it's not flying saucers, what is it? You know, the question is, good heavens, can it be that there is an energy field that is not within our control? Is there an energy field that can be summoned, that can somehow, without making itself seen by the human eye, impress its consciousness on the surface of this planet and create these amazingly beautiful structures called crop circles? Is it possible that there is something to this idea that has permeated human consciousness since the beginning, that there is such a force as a cosmic awareness, and that it knows what it's doing, and that it can give and leave trace patterns of itself for others to read and observe and to try to understand? And even if you never understand the crop circles, my friends, I ask you to be in awe. It is an exciting thing. It is truly exciting. So, when this quickening happens, and all of these magnificent, if you followed them at all, they started out very simply, just circles, and then circles within circles. Well, then they circles and then triangles, and this year there were triangles. And then finally, as the last finale, there was an immense heart that came with two circuses behind it, just two circles placed, and then little circles on the sides. And when they looked at this, they say, this looks very much like the Mandelbrot theory. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, there is the science of chaos, the fractals and so on, all of that, which is an exciting area. Never mind. But anyway, it looks exactly like this form that continues to form in the Mandelbrot theory. So what is all of this about, and most especially, what does it have to do with you? First of all, I want, please, for you to more and more, as your days and weeks go on, to remember with gratitude that you are living on a living energy vortex, and that it has a difficult job, that it is not just going along some blind cause and effect, that it has the spontaneous necessity to ask for and to receive guidance and do what it needs to do. It is not inert. It is not unconscious. I think it would be a bit arrogant to think that you, in your smallness, have consciousness, and yet this amazingly vast, magnificently alive planet does not. I think that to begin to become grateful that there is such a thing as this planet calling for its heart to be clarified, its mind to be clarified, and to, in any way you can, to aid that. And that's a very simple thing. It just simply means to turn in your awareness to this planet and to give whatever gratitude and whatever help you can. So we go back to the very fact that the best way for you to help this planet is to pay attention to the thoughts that you put into it as you walk on its face. Please see this. How many millions of you are there walking and stomping all over this planet? And each with your own conduit of awareness coming from the vastness down into the earth. And so every time that you walk, every time that you do whatever you do, as you are moving across, you are taking from whatever is above you, putting it through you, and you are taking those energies and placing them in the planet itself. This is an important thing for you to realize, please. That the energy that you choose to put into this sphere is either going to aid it in its own seeking, its own understanding, its own knowing, or it's going to make it more difficult. So on the very simplest level, please be excited about the opportunity of being of help, of being able to be conscious, a conscious conduit as you move through all of your day and your night, realizing that even if you are not paying attention to what you are saying, that this planet is receiving, constantly receiving, whatever it is that you are moving into and moving through. So if you have a difficult life, I understand the necessity for working through it, but if you could just take a little bit of that time, please, and spend it putting into this earth with a consciousness of awareness all of the things that you would pray for this planet, all of the hopes and the joys and the delights and the expansion that you would hope for this amazing sphere which is doing so much on your behalf. Now, having said all that, let us talk about you. Because in the end, this is only meant to remind you that this very same process is constantly going on with you. To the extent to which you are yearning for a quickening in your life, you are then bringing to life that pattern within you, that deep blueprint, and you are asking for inspiration, you're asking for compassion, you're asking for love and humor and understanding, you're asking for a sense, most of all, of safety. I will say again, you're asking most of all for a feeling of safety, that in the midst of whatever is going on, without having to in any way change what is going on, to put the force of your power into the asking for a feeling of absolute safety in the midst of whatever is transpiring in you, in your life, to the life of your family, your parents, your job, your money, your car, your health, whatever. And when you spend most of your time in that asking for the quickening, for the clarity, it begins to come and come. Whenever you find yourself worried about something, if you could acknowledge, worry is present, and then move with whatever power you can to the other to remember, inspire me, feel my way for me, show me how to do it, show me the way, just ask, ask, and just with a sweet and wondrous accepting, just continue to move and to move and to move. Do you want inspiration in your life? Then you have got to go to the place where inspiration rises. And if I might be terribly blunt, that is not from your mind. Your mind is not the vehicle for inspiration. What happens is you become inspired from the vastness of the new. It plays itself through the mind. And then you come up with idea. But what you're looking for is, are you not? Aren't you looking for an amazing explosion that says, I know something, I feel something, I'm aware of something? Isn't it the feeling that you're looking for? Not particularly how it plays itself out, you know, now I go to the bank and now I do this and now I do that. And that's not the idea. The inspiration is something that rises up in you that doesn't come from the faculty of mind, and that fills you with a power. And one of the things that the power says is, all's well, all's well, all's well. And you say, all's well? In the midst of this? In the midst of this? And this power says, all's well, all's well. Now, we have to talk about something. I see, as we look around today, that some of you are in what I would call a karmic switch. And that means that all of a sudden, here you are in your life, and you realize that some of your past karma is starting to come up. And that means that you think yourself to be this kind of a person, and all's well, and all of a sudden people are saying, no, you're not like that, you're like this. No, you're not like that, you're like this. And you say, but that's not how I am. This is who I am. Now, you know in this moment, do you understand what I'm saying? You know in this moment that you are not that way. You, in your honesty, and this is the first step to get out of a karmic switch, the first thing you do with as much humor and honesty, humor, 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 and honesty, you sit down and say, all right, where did I go wrong? What did I do? Oh, I did this, I did this, I did this. And get a sense of the totality in your past. And please, let's not pull in past lives. You know, there's enough in this lifetime. Really. Which is not to say that past lives don't contribute. Please, you can be very foggy. When responses start coming from past lives, things get rather confused. If you enjoy that, by all means. But I think there's plenty enough validation in this own, in your own, this life. Oftentimes, my friends, people go to past lives in order to avoid saying, in this life, I was an absolute jerk. In this life, I was bigoted, I was prejudiced, I was dishonest, I was disloyal, I was this, I was this. Oh, but you jump over that and say, well, I remember in my past life when I was this bad person and I find myself in Italy walking down the road and I'm doing this. And all right, maybe. But that is not probably the focus of the best healing point. The healing point comes with that wonderful, humorous accepting in this moment of the things in this life that you have done that were just not totally appropriate, whatever that means. Now, When you acknowledge that very clearly to yourself, do you have to get on CBS, NBC, and CNN? Probably not. You know, you can, in fact, do you even have to tell your closest ones? No, this is your own business. And when you sit and you absolutely state, for example, if you cannot get money going, if you just can't get money going, and you know yourself to be one of those people that now has a very positive approach to money, sit down and ask yourself, in this life, where have I been a little funny about money? Where have I been a little funny about money? Where have I been a little devious? Where have I been a little bit this, a little bit... Do you understand? I'm asking you to... If you're in a karmic switch, you know what, how painful it is. So I'm just giving you some advice. If you don't like it, then whatever. But just as an idea. And when you get deeply to know the places in your own life that you have done those things, been, if I could just put it this way, a bit dishonest, whatever it might be, hidden or whatever, and in the facing of that, and then the statement of, I'm really sorry that I did that to yourself. I really feel that that was a misuse of power, a misuse of energy, and I don't intend to do that again. When you begin to open up those places that you're hiding from yourself, then you begin to have more energy along whatever endeavor you're going about. Let's take the money, for example. When you want more money than you have, you are experiencing a lack of money energy in your life. And so you try to work it, you try to bring through thoughts about power and money and energy and so on, and something never seems to move. It doesn't move out. It doesn't move into the world. Now, this is a place where the clusters of energy are caught inside of you, and they can't, the new can't get through because the old is still stuck. And it is not difficult to get out. It is not difficult to get away from the old. Do you know when you were little and you used to blow soap bubbles with those pipes and you one bubble and another added and then another added and then you could have many, many and you could see right through them and they all knew what each other was doing? Well, that's a cluster. That's a cluster. Now, was it very difficult to get rid of it? And you can do the same thing, and what is the is to simply begin to be honest. To take your energy, place it in those parts of your life where you have been hiding from yourself. Face it, discuss it with yourself, be honest about it, and then just say, that's who I was then, that's not who I am now, and I am not going to do that again. And it is that statement of, I am not going to do it again, that frees the energy that is stuck within you. Whatever field that you feel stuck in, I would like to say, the chances are that you have karmic clusters that you have been unwilling to go into and acknowledge and embrace and fully take in as a child of your own creation. And when you truly do this, you will begin to feel a lot more lighthearted. You'll begin to realize that you really are different, that you aren't like you used to be. And the most exciting thing is the energy then explodes and you begin to feel yourself empowered in a brand new way. You do not have to keep parroting the past, but you will parrot the past until you do something about simply looking at, acknowledging, and claiming those energy patterns that have got you caught. And my friends, please, this doesn't have to be that you've robbed a bank or that you've murdered, you know, your neighbor. I'm just not that intense. It's the small things of your own life that you, for example, a good way to know is if a thought goes through and you find yourself guilty and embarrassed, that's it. You understand? Go through your own life. If you find yourself, a thought pops in and you see this little vignette and you feel yourself getting either guilty or embarrassed or going, oh no, that's it. That's where you begin. You begin with that. And as you begin with that, it leads to the next. And this is not some kind of a terrible thing. It's exciting, expansive, and most of all, what it does is it releases all of those areas of energy. And then when you look at your new self, when you really now claim that you aren't like that, because the minute you say, I'm not that, I'm not like that anymore, and you know it, you acknowledge it, and what you do is you choose to release the energy, and it begins to move, and then it begins to follow the new trajectory, whatever it is that you have consciously decided that you now want. It's a very simple process. But it cannot happen without the willingness to sit down in good humor and really look. So, where are you stuck? Take it with good humor and seriously, realizing it is you, excuse me, I know, you think it's someone else, but it is you who chooses to hold on to the creative energy or to release it. It is not God who chooses, it is not God who chooses to release its energy. So now we're back to the crop circles and we're back to you as an example of a crop circle and a blueprint. One way of seeing this in your mind is that everywhere around you, constantly alive, alive and permeating all of matter outside of it, no matter where you go in the createdness and outside, it's all this wonderful, wonderful, alive God consciousness. And it is constantly waiting. And what it's waiting for is that upwelling from you. It's just like the planet and the blueprint. When the blueprint began to ask, when it began to move with intensity, asking for the quickening to come. So your job is to begin the quickening. And you simply do this, we've said it again and again, but pick your way. You simply begin by turning your awareness to the knowing that this incredible energy wants to inspire, because that is where all inspiration arises. It does not arise from the mind or from thoughts or from emotion. It arises from the vast, vast potentiality of God consciousness. And everything arises from there, and it is wondrous. Your only part of it is to start moving around your life, anticipating the quickening, yearning for the quickening, without any great stipulation of how it's going to happen. Example. The wonderful crop field that's laying there does not know what amazing kind of structural creation is going to be implanted upon it. And it would never think it's place to say, all right, I want 3 rings, 2 triangles, a circle on the right, two rectangles on the left, and no. It just simply puts out the call. If I could put it this way, it lays there with total delight and anticipation. Why is it that one field is called and another is not? Why is it that... Why is it that, and it certainly doesn't have a lot to do with the farmer who's farming the field. I want to make this very clear. Some of these farmers are very upset, and they find it very disturbing. In fact, when many of them find that they have a circle there, they get their tractors out, and before anyone can do anything, they plow them out and choose to lose the grain, but they just don't want to have anything to do with whatever this is. And so it doesn't have to do with the farmer. And it has to do with the land itself. So there it is, and I'd like you to think of this image about yourself, because when you just get a sense, as I hope you can, of the open-hearted, open, waiting excitement of the field of growth, which is what you are, a field of growth, same as the corn or the wheat or whatever it is. And just to be knowing that moment by moment, you're simply waiting for that quickening in whatever shape and form it will come. The more you can keep your ideas out of it at this stage, the better for you. Just to say, I want inspiration. I want to be inspired. I want to be inspired in all parts of my life. I want to be inspired. And when you begin to walk around with that magnificent... Do you feel the crop just laying? It's that kind of a... I don't imagine you want to lay around all day like that. No, your neighbors will think you quite outrageous and you'll soon be very poor. But the knowing in your mind, the awareness, I'm talking about a surrender. I'm talking about an energy that simply says, do with me what you will. I just want to feel the quickening of you. I want to know how that feels in me. And whatever form you choose to place it on, all's well. Ms. Starnes? Yes. Whatever form you choose is all's well. I simply am here to receive. And I will follow your pattern as best as I know. I will follow the dictates of my heart and my mind as best as I can. And the rest is up to you. And do it, and do it, and do it. Instead of trying, some of you are trying so hard to shape your life in a certain way. I will be happy if I have $1 million. Oh, will you? Well, look around at all the people with $1 million. I think Mr. Trump has a lot of money. I don't suppose he's very happy right now. There are a lot of people with a lot of money, with a lot of misery. So know if you can just stay away from any kind of idea, but get very, very big and very, very big. Do you want health? Yes, but you want total health. You don't want just physical health. You want mental and emotional and heart health. You want all of it. And how do you get it? You just keep remembering that you are not the source of your inspiration, you, the small you. That something exactly exciting, just as the crop circles are exciting, something is going on all the time. And that impress of those amazing images are starting to come in. Now, when you begin to really understand that this energy is impressing a form on you, on your physical body, just as the crop circle, you will begin to do whatever you can to pay attention to what that looks like. So those of you who are coming to the intensive, much of the day will be spent trying to help you get to the place where you can read, recognize, and understand how that energy is impressing itself on your chakras, because that's where it impresses it. It impresses it in the motion of your chakras. So those of you who are coming, pick at least one chakra that you think is a problem for you, and we'll work with it as best we can. If you have more than one, then bring them both. please come with a sense of knowing what it is. The idea will be to help you to read. You see, read the impressings of this energy. You see, the exciting thing about the crop circles is no one knows what they mean. No one. And all these brilliant minds are smacking against this wall. They say, well, I know it's from the Celts. It's the old Celts coming back. And they look at it and say, no, this isn't the old Celts. The Celts never did this. No, this isn't it. You know, so on. So everyone comes up with a wonderful idea. They put it through all of these wonderful computers and they say, I don't have any idea. And most of all, the government is saying, we don't have any idea. And so out of all of that lack of being able to translate comes part of the excitement. Now, since you are not a crop circle, I imagine that you would enjoy having the understanding to be able to translate the messages that are being imprinted on your chakras. I would like to say that I think it's time to stop believing that all the old symbols and impressings on the chakras are all that are possible. I know that some of you are students of the whole system, and you know that there's an elephant that sits in one and a lion in another and so on. And I realize historically that's useful, but I don't think that's going to be a lot of help for you now. And a lot of those symbols arose out of the tremendous importance of the East Indian culture. Magnificent work, magnificent. But you don't happen to be living in East India, and you don't happen to be an East Indian. You're here doing this. So if you could begin to get excited about being able to read, to be able to read your own energy in a very direct way, so that you will be able to get a sense of your own meaning, of your own crop circle, of your own quickening from the God awareness. Because, my friends, if you are being quickened and you don't understand it, you can't use it. But if you can simply begin to learn some simple procedures of how to learn and how to really use that, then you'll begin to have an expansion around all of this. So you can begin this on your own. You don't have to go to a day in Albuquerque. You can begin it on your own. And how do you do it? You begin by paying... Here we go again. You begin by paying attention to the feelings, not the thoughts, but the feelings inside the major points. When you say, my heart is aching, you never say, my heart is aching. You never say, my heart is aching. You say, my heart is aching. Now, it's that ache, it's that pain, it's that confusion, it's that point in the physical body that is causing the humbug, and it's right there that you can begin to understand what it's saying. If you find yourself filled with pain and confusion, I ask you to sit down and realize that in some way you are being quickened, in some way, and it's not coming in the way you wanted. Quickening's supposed to be happy, say you. And I will tell you something. Energy rarely comes through the body with bliss until you have done the homework of opening up where you're stuck. Because you all know this. You start to put energy through something that's painful, and you the first thing that happens is you increase the pain. That's well and good, because with the increase of the pain, you go out the other side, and there's the freedom of all the vastness. But the responsibility is to sit with the pain, to feel the pain, to be fully in the pain, and in the feeling of it, not the thinking of it, in the feeling of that pain, you begin to feel more energized. You see, so much of your energy is spent running away from pain, that when you do the opposite all of a sudden and realize that you can't run away from it, that holding yourself back from it has not decreased it, when you finally realize that the way is into and through it, then you begin to push into it and embrace it and feel it in a fuller way, and that's when you begin to really get a vast space around it. Now, many of you are using therapy to do this process. Many of you, and it works incredibly well. But there also comes a time when you have decided that you have perhaps made enough space in the verbal interchange, that you understand enough so that you're not too frightened, that now you can go in as the last stand and just claim the space where that pain is. Because let me tell you something. You will not claim that space until you feel safe. People come to me and they say, I want to be more loving. And I say, how can you be loving in a place that's full of pain? How can you choose to go inside and feel love in a place where you feel so much pain? How can you do that? So you begin by beginning sweetly and gently to go in, gently, gently, gently to in that pain, sweetly and gently, sitting with it, realizing what it is. It's a cluster, going in and making your awareness deeply move into it. You take your awareness and you move into this cluster. And awareness always carries the light. You don't understand a lot of these problems because you haven't put the light of your awareness on them. You have been looking at other things because you didn't want to look at this pain. And the pain is where the guilt and the sorrow and the regret and the embarrassment all lay. So when you take your awareness and place it on the cluster, the whole thing begins to light up. And you begin to feel understanding, clarity. Some of you get very, very psychic around these issues. You begin to be very, almost clairvoyant around the issue. You begin to really sense and know what happened in the past and so on. So everything begins to open. Those of you who are having experiences that coming out of your past, they would never have come up out of your past unless you had put the focus of your awareness on the pain. In so doing, things come up. So all of you who are in the process of that, I say good for you and keep going. But realize it's just a process. And as you begin to put your awareness on it, there'll become a moment where you say, that's enough. I've had enough of that. I just want to flood the entire area with light and power and consciousness. And I want to have such a new space that in that new space, I can create a totally new feeling. I can create love without pain. I can create a sense of caring without the fear of loss. I can just create what I want because it's a clear space. Understand? It's so clear and so open. And who does that? You do that. How do you do it? By going in and doing it. You see, it's nothing to be afraid of. And those of you who become afraid, absolutely go for help. Absolutely. But it's the willingness to sweetly go in and taking the incredible light of consciousness, conscious awareness, and placing it on anything. And when you begin to do that, there goes your freedom. Right through. You see it, you're clear with it, you move out the other side, and you can look back, and it's almost as if your whole physical body begins to relax, and you're no longer so frightened, you're not longer so tight. You now have a feeling of expansion. And that all begins by you being willing to sit with the pain, to sit with the embarrassment. You know, sometimes just a simple embarrassment has such deep roots that when you begin to look at embarrassment, it gets deeper and deeper. All you're doing is taking your awareness and placing it in a cluster, and then the light moves. Just as in one of those wonderful bubble formations, you begin to see. You see, the wonderful thing of the bubble clusters is they all see each other. Nothing's hidden. Have you noticed? I mean, you can see them from any angle. You can see the entire cluster. They see each other. There are no separations because there's only clarity between them. So what you are pretending is that there's a part of you that can't see and that you can't see, and I want you to realize that's not true. So the sooner that you begin to rest and relax into, all right, it's all right, it's all right, I can see it, I can feel it, I'm ready for it, then you'll begin to get a sense of what it is that we're looking for. So, what is the end of all this? You have at your constant disposal so many incredibly vast energies of power, of clarity, of knowing, of compassion. And when you begin the desire to surrender to those energy fields, you'll begin to allow them to quicken your life in a new way. And the greatest obstacle that, my friends, is your mind. If I could be very blunt, you think too much. Because thinking is not feeling. And you can think about God, and you can think about love, and you can think about compassion. But until you are willing to feel, you will not feel love or God or compassion. And so many of you, and I ask you to ask yourself if you might be one of these, spends a lot of time thinking because it's the best way in the world to avoid feeling. You don't want spaces of the day. People come to me and they say, I can't meditate. And the reason is when they begin to meditate, their whole thinking begins to come up in their awareness. And as long as they're thinking, they don't mind. But then later, when the thinking begins to calm down, something else begins to move and they become afraid. So you think in order to avoid. And thinking is not happy. And the reason that thinking is not continuously happy is that thoughts come and go, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. And I'm so pleased that they have now found out that 95% of your thoughts that you think one day, you think the next day. Now, that's a very important thing for you to understand. 95% of the thoughts that you think today, you're going to think tomorrow, and you thought yesterday. Now, you wonder why you're in the same situation that you were. Well, there is your answer. It is because you are thinking here and thinking here. The analogy simply, we said it before, is being in the bathtub with the same dirty water day after day after day after day after day. You would never pretend that you're having a clean bath. You would never dream of such a thing. But here comes the situation, and you never realize what you want is not gallons of clear water. You know, another analogy for this work that we're doing is, you know, we bring some gallons of water and we dump them in your bathtub. All right? Well, that's all right. That's all right. But eventually, it all gets to be the same, the same, the same. What you want is your own river. You want your own clear, crisp, pristine, powerful river of consciousness moving through you all the time. So that you don't have to spend your Sundays like this. So that you can move every moment of your life in that river. Do you understand? That's what you're looking for. And you're not going to find it in your mind. The mind is the bathtub. This is not to say that there aren't some amazingly wonderful thoughts. And there's nothing wrong with the mind. But, you don't want to spend your life in the bathtub. You know, there are other places to go, other things to see, other than sitting in the bathtub. And so, reading a book. So, just if you begin to get the excitement of knowing that when you're thinking, you're in the tub. And begin to be aware of how often you think. You want to get free? Be aware of how often you think, what kind of thoughts you're thinking. Just be the observer of your own thought process. And very soon, you will realize 95% of this is very boring. This 95% is very boring. And when you pay attention, you will hear yourself thinking it over and over and over again. Someone walks in and you read them with the sameness of the 95%. Now, what you want is to have a totally new, spontaneous, absolute experience of what is in front of you. Brand new, without any past trace. Just present, isn't it? Wouldn't that be exciting to be able to look at a flower and not wonder where it came from and what kind of manure was used and what its name is and what color is it and how many bugs eat it and so on? I mean, flower is gone. That you have no knowing of flower. You only have knowing of your mind, and you're looking at flower and all you're seeing is your mind. When you look at each other, you're not seeing each other. You're seeing your mind. You're not seeing them. Who are they? You don't know. Why? Because you're seeing your mind. You're seeing your thoughts. Oh, I know who he is. Oh, I know who she talks. I know. This. And so, depending on their mind, that's what they see in whoever you are. And you keep saying, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. And they say, be quiet. I know who you are. Don't confuse me. I know who you are. I like who you are because now I understand who you are. Even if I don't like you, I understand it. Be quiet. So, I'm asking is for you to begin to get excited by everything you look at. You are seeing your mind until the moment that you decide, I am sick to death of seeing my mind. I am ready to see things straight on, clear, dynamic, real, as they really are, not as my overlay makes them. And I want to see every person in my life brand new. Would not that be exciting? To take away all of your old impressions and simply see another human being straight on as they really are. Their true nature, not this overlay of yours and the overlay of their own. To truly see into the true nature. What an amazing experience. And it happens to you once, and that's it. You will know forever. You will know forever. So please, in the next weeks, please become excited and aware about the idea that when you stop thinking, be conscious of stopping thinking and just be willing to see directly with that clarity, you'll begin to see. And you'll see each other totally differently. Do you remember when you fall in love, how the world looks so beautiful? It just looks so beautiful. And you can look at everyone and everything with compassion and joy and love and acceptance. It's because in that first moments of falling in love, oftentimes you really see the other person. Really see them. And that response is overwhelming. It fills your heart and your mind. And in loving them and seeing them so beautifully and clearly, you see and feel everything around you. So the streets begin to come to life, and dead trees seem to have a life of their own, and all power and wonder. And then you begin to put your overlay on the face. You begin to move away from that pristine clarity of vision. And again, you start putting your face on them, your ideas on them, your beliefs, your translation, and they get lost in the translation. So now you only see what you think and what you feel. And you say, I've fallen out of love. And I would say, no, you've fallen out of vision. You've fallen out of vision. Because this vision was not meant just for two people to see each other. This vision was meant for all of you to see each other like this constantly. To move through your life with that feeling of falling in love for everyone that you see. Everything that you look at. Every event, every action. To see it with that vision. That's what this is all about. And how do you get it? By becoming very clear that your mind is not going to do it. Your thoughts are not going to create it. but that there is an incredibly vast space of energy and power and magnificence inside of you that sees with those eyes. It's called the one eye. The eye that sees with oneness. The eye that sees only one. And you get it by moving out of your thought and being willing to see just as things are, to look at them just as they are. No thought, no motion, no projection. Just the prayer is, I want to see you exactly as you are. And as you begin to do this, that willingness calms it down, provides the space, removes the anxiety of having to translate, because, my friends, you're constantly translating. Is this someone who's difficult for me? Am I at risk here? Am I safe? Am I not? Constantly. And when you say, I am no longer going to translate, I'm simply going to see, then you begin to see. And when you stop trying to hear in a certain way, but you simply become excited about hearing all sounds, motorcycles, I'm afraid so. All sound, to open up the willingness to allow sound, undifferentiated, to move, just to do it, to be willing to surrender to deciding, and yes and no, and I like and I don't like, and just to allow sound, to stand for a few moments, every few moments, and just allow. I've told so many of you this, I'll say it again. If you'll just stop every few moments of every hour, every few moments, stop. And begin and just allow yourself to hear whatever is there to hear. And just to feel whatever there is there to feel. To see things just as they are in the moment. You become so filled with that amazing wonder and awe, and you don't have to struggle so hard. You can then relax, and in the relaxing comes the love. I've told you again, and I will tell you yet again, your true nature is so exquisite, so magnificent, so beautiful, so powerfully extending and creative and dynamic that there are no words in the human vocabulary to express it. And that is what we see when we look at you, which is why we have a little difficulty worrying about your problems. I've been called many names because I'm not too worried about your problems. But it's because I know who you are. And because I know that those problems are transitory. And I know exactly where you're going. You are going until the veil between is so thin that it's no longer there, and that you see and you know. And how do you get there? By being willing to see exactly things as they are. To hear all sound without deciding. To allow all feeling without pushing and pulling, to simply allow it all, just as the crop circle. Be like that. Every moment, be like that. And in the end, you will know. In the end, you will see. You will look at a face, and you will know. You will hear a sound. Remember Francis? Remember St. Francis? When did he get his enlightenment? Listening to a bird? He heard the bird without anything in between. He knew. He knew. You're not different from Francis. You're not different from any. Just be willing to stop the separation and allow it in. What are you hearing? Let it hear. What are you seeing? Just see it. There are none so blind as those that will not see. What does that mean? Just see it all. Because, my friends, whatever your mind might say, it's all God. Whatever your prejudices might say, it's all God. Whatever your belief structure may say, it's all God. So hear it, see it, feel it, and then be it.
I'm very grateful to all of you for being here today. And since this is our last day here, I'd like to thank the structure which has housed us for so long and been such a help. And to all of you, and